Chapter 1. Secrets of Love. The spring session at the university was safely over, and Ruslan and Arthur, sitting in the small kitchen of Ruslan's apartment, drank cool sodas and chatted relaxedly, discussing new music. "Hey, Russ, what's that song you're listening to?" Arthur asked suddenly, listening to the words with some skepticism. "School, school, thank you. I don't think you've ever listened to something like that before." Ruslan paused, smiled, and winked at his friend with a mysterious look. "I was in one interesting place. Do you remember when I told you about tantrics?" replied Ruslan. "Yes, I remember you said you went to some practices and met a girl there. What's her name? Karina, I think." Arthur got up from his chair and walked across the room, stretching his stiff legs. "Angela," the boy said with a dreamy smile. "She's really cool, and what we do in class is just cosmos. I've never had that with any girl before." Arthur looked at his friend in surprise. "What do you guys do in your classes? What, like sex?" Ruslan laughed, seeing this reaction. "No, not sex." He shook his head. "We are practicing working with sexual energy in pairs." "So interesting." Arthur came forward. "So are they naked or what?"
"No, they've got clothes on," Ruslan replied in a serious tone, and, suddenly looking at his friend with a questioning look, proposed, "Do you want to go together? They have class again today."
Arthur thought for a few seconds, assessing the pros and cons.
"Okay, why not?" he agreed at last,
and Ruslan saw that his friend's eyes lit up with genuine interest. Cheerfully talking, they walked into the hall where the lecture was about to begin. There were a lot of people, and almost all the seats were occupied. Having found two free chairs, the guys paid attention to the stage, where a beautiful tall woman came out, smoothly swaying her hips. Her long hair with golden curls waterfall down her shoulders. Her bright green long dress swayed with every movement, emphasizing the grace and feminine curves of her body. A silver necklace with a large blue stone glittered around her neck. From wrist to elbow, her arms were adorned with colorful bracelets. "My name is Lyria," she said in an energetic, mesmerizing voice. "I am very glad to see you in this hall. Bright souls who seek the true knowledge have gathered here. I see in your eyes love and aspiration to the truth." The woman paused briefly and looked at the guests with warmth. "Many people think that Tantra is exotic sex," she continued softly, "but it is not. Tantra is the art of living. Although it is believed that we live in an advanced civilization, people even with 3 degrees do not know the basic things. They don't know how to eat properly, and that's why they get sick. They do not know anything about the science of breathing, and therefore are constantly under stress. They don't know how to fall asleep properly and study the meanings of dreams. They don't know how to interact with each other properly and are in conflicts. So Tantra is the art of living and knowing how to do anything correctly, whether it is business or prayer or meditation. To do them not just mechanically, but with awareness. To use any action, even bickering, as a spiritual practice. Tantra, among other things, teaches the proper interaction of the sexes and the use of sex for one's development." Lyria's voice sounded like an iridescent mountain stream. Listening to her, Arthur was suddenly fascinated by this beautiful woman. He felt something great and at the same time very familiar, as if he had found something that he had been searching for a long time. Ruslan was also listening attentively to Lyria, although he was distracted from time to time, looking at the girls sitting in the hall. "I was taught by the priests in Khajuraho," Lyria continued. "There are some temples in India whose walls show pictures of intercourse. It proves that in the past, sex was treated like a prayer. Sexual partners worshipped each other and truly embodied the images of gods and goddesses. And later, when barbarians conquered this highly developed civilization, they destroyed many of these temples. Until now, the priests and founders of Tantra
have had to hide to protect themselves from persecution. Tibetan Buddhism still has images depicting Buddha and his tantric partner's Tara intercourse. These images point to the fact that Tantra used to be very common in previous times, though a large part of it has been forgotten nowadays. In India, they still make Shivalinga statues, which represent an erect phallus conjoined with yoni, a female reproductive organ. In our country, it would be considered obscene and dirty. But Indians worship it, believing it to be Shiva's phallus in his wife Parvati's yoni. It demonstrates the fact that relations between sexes used to be seen as a way to God. Not all relations may be this way. If the choice of partners is wrong, if there is no love between them, no harmony, if they cannot control their sexual energy, these relations will lead to the degradation of both, to their destroying of each other. This is why we will study how to make these relations a true way to God. We will learn Tantra as an art, to perform any action in the practice of developing. We will begin by practicing finding our onome. Liria looked around at everyone and explained, "Onome is a creature of the opposite sex who exists in the subtle world and is the embodiment of the human ideal. To meet your true love in the physical world, you should first establish contact with your onome from the subtle world." During Liria's explanation, Arthur was eagerly catching every word she said. When she asked everyone to stand up, inviting them to practice, Arthur tried to relax and tune in as much as possible to the upcoming practice. Following the ringing and enchanting voice of the woman, he sank deep into himself and remembered the amazingly pure romantic feeling of elation, the sincere delight of the first youthful love. Suddenly, the boy felt the presence of someone good, light, beautiful, holy. The next moment, Arthur saw his ideal vividly and felt an emotional connection with it. He began to cry, experiencing a surge of joy, admiration for beauty, tenderness, and kindness. He cried with delight that he had found in himself what he had long sought and did not know where to find. He began to communicate with Onome, and beautiful poems were born in his heart, which he dedicated to her. Other people around were having similar experiences. Some, like Arthur, wept crystal tears of purification. Others had their faces illuminated by a bright inner light, and still others felt emotions so strong that they felt a small shiver run through their bodies. When the practice was over, Liria instructed the women present to choose a partner who resembled their ideal. "It is not a man who chooses, but a woman," she explained. "A man is just seeking ways to satisfy his lust and picks the easiest available option. A woman looks for a worthy partner to live all her life with. And if she is not in a hurry to get married and does not care much about a ring and the other biases of society, then she will be much better at choosing an ideal partner, for she has an inborn sensitivity for this. In our society, it is the other way around. Women are taught to be passive and wait for the male to choose them, paying attention to only one aspect, whether or not he's already married. So now, during this practice, women should feel who is suitable for them and choose their soulmate themselves." The hall was filled with enchanting music, and people began to dance, lining up in two circles, with the women having to look at their partners. Then, each of them chose the man who most resembled Onome. A good-looking girl with silvery hair came up to Arthur. "I'm Alice," she said, and smiled tenderly to the guy. Arthur introduced himself to her, and they began to do a joint asana ritual, trying to feel the movement of energy between their bodies. After that, they created a common reality, looking at each other with a parallel gaze and caressing each other with etheric hands. Arthur was enchanted by Alice, and they walked hand in hand out of the building, where the classes were held. He decided to walk her home. On the way, he bought flowers for the girl, and recited romantic poems that arose in him. He had never thought that he could fall in love so much during one evening, but Alice awakened in him very light, reverent feelings. He felt his soul waking up and reaching for this girl. He felt a desire to do something nice for Alice, to please her, to express his feelings. Then, Arthur took the money he was saving for an expensive Japanese motorcycle and took Alice shopping, buying her jewelry, gifts, outfits, and anything else she wanted. In the evening, the lovers could not part for a long time.
Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website www.amazon1.org.